There are concerts, one tonight and then a couple of them next Monday and Tuesday night, brought to you by Hunnister Concerts and the Northwest Bach Fest. Tonight it will be Zwill Bailey and Beethoven, and we'll be talking about that. And then Monday and Tuesday it will be the first Spokane appearance, which I'm pretty excited about, by the Eroica Trio. So let's have a talk with everybody. First, we'll bring in Zwill Bailey. Good morning, Zwill.
Good morning, Vern. So wonderful to be here in town and looking forward to the concert tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll certainly be talking about the culmination of Beethoven soon enough. One of the hallmarks of your time, over 10 years now in Spokane, has been Zwill's Rolodex. And all of the wonderful people that you brought to us, people for the first time that we didn't know, and then some other real legends, mere names like Itzhak Perlman and people like that that you brought to us. So I was really thrilled that you brought to us the Eroica Trio. We're going to bring in Sarah Sanabraggio in just a moment, but do you want to embarrass her first just by saying a moment or two about them before we bring Sarah into the conversation?
Sure. Well, they always say you're as good as the company you keep. And I've been extremely lucky to have gone to amazing schools and to surrounded myself with colleagues that have taken the world by storm. I've known Sarah Sanabraggio forever. And before I knew her, I knew of her. She is a soloist, a chamber musician, a wonderful friend, a great colleague. She happens to be in one of the world's greatest chamber ensembles, the Eroica Trio. What's great about this, as always, is that I'm combining two friendship circles with the Eroica Trio as well as my family here in Spokane. And so I'm thrilled to be able to present them. It's the perfect time to also present them in a safe environment here. I'm really glad that we are back. Yeah. Well, as we said back in May, we're Bach because of the Bach component to our organization. But yes, I'm thrilled that they get to play two times at Barrister Winery, Monday and Tuesday night. The personalities, the glamour, the extraordinary musicianship, they're all off the charts.
Well, let's bring in Sarah right now. And so good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Vern. Good morning, Zwill. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually at home in New York City for one day that I'm off, and then I'm coming on Sunday night to Spokane, which I can't wait. You've got some amazing programs we really have some amazing programs that we're bringing to you, which we're super excited about.
Let me jump in right here for just a moment, and then I'll give it over to Zwill, because I've been watching the Eroica Trio ever since that 1997 album came out. And a bit about your programming philosophy, because you've always had one really iconic piece that is a standard of the repertoire, and then a lot of interesting pieces from the nooks and crannies and arrangements and things like that. So talk a little bit about how, as you formed that group, you found your musical identity.
Well, you know, we noticed that before us that the piano trios that were established tended to just center in on the established mainstream, audience approved. Everybody knew, of course, these were iconic masterpieces. And we were like, this repertoire is massive. And there's so many incredible jewels that for some reason or another have just slipped out of the core repertoire over the passage of time. And so we were like, you know, when I have a meal, I don't want to eat meat and potatoes for my appetizer, my main course, and my dessert. So we try to create programs that are like a meal. We're going to give you an amuse-bouche. We're going to give you definitely your core meat and potatoes, but then we want to bring things from other areas that we think really you're going to love, and they're going to expand the way you think of a piano trio. And also, you know, one of the iconic pieces that we're starting one of the programs with is the masterpiece, the Chaconne by Johann Sebastian Bach. And when we were recording our Baroque album, we were thinking we want a centerpiece. And I had been lucky enough when I was at Curtis Institute of Music to play the Leopold Stokowski orchestral version of the Chaconne, which completely blew my mind, because the architecture in all of Bach, but particularly in the Chaconne, is so mathematically perfect that it can support a full orchestra playing a piece that was originally written for one solo instrument. So we thought, let's find someone who is a brilliant voicer, a brilliant composer, a brilliant arranger, and get them to arrange it for the Eroica Trio, which they did. And I think it is just, Ann Dudley did it. And I think it's just, it brings home, when you have it expanded to three players, it brings home just the perfection of this incredible, pure architecture infused with this unbelievable life force that all of Bach's music is infused with.
Well, I'm glad that you started with that, because just before we started the interview, I had come off of your version of the Gershwin Three Preludes, and what struck me was you didn't just transcribe it, but you ask your arranger to compose and to really make it your own. So talk a little bit more about the free approach that you take to the Bach, to turning one instrument into three.
Well, I think that it really is extraordinary how well she did it. And she also, by the way, wrote some original music in the middle of it, which is so perfectly authentic that the first time we read through it, I, as a cellist, we got to the end of the piece, and I was like, wait, did she add something in this part right here? And the violinist was like, yes, that's not in the original. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so perfect. I didn't even realize it. And it's just brilliant. But when you pull it apart, you can hear, sometimes I think I almost prefer it, because you hear the melody, but you hear the counter melodies so beautifully as well, you know, because it's in a different instrument.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Zuhal, at any point here, you can come in a little bit and talk more about both the trio and the repertoire with Sarah.
Well, first of all, I would like to congratulate Sarah on the 30th anniversary of the Eroica Trio winning the Naumburg competition. I can't believe it's been 30 years. The
first I can't believe I have it before, either.
I know. That means you were actually born in the 1900s, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay. Kids are now coming up to me asking me if it's actually true that I was born in the 1900s. So that's a joke. since that, obviously, 1991, the Eroica Trio won this international number competition. I never knew what year you founded that group. I know you've been playing with your colleagues forever, and you started at a very young age. But when did you officially name your group, and when did you officially start to play as a trio, before 1991?
Yes, as you know, the pianist Erica Nickgrund and I, Erica studied with my grandmother at my family's music camp. So we started playing together when we were 12. She started playing with a violinist when they were 9 at Greenwich Music House in New York City. And then I started playing with a violinist when I was 14. So we had been playing in duos forever. And then in 1986 at Juilliard, I was just like, hey, I wonder what it would be like if all three of us played together at the same time. And so I called up Erica and I said, do you have any interest in playing in a trio with me? And like, would that be something you'd be interested in? And she was like, I would love that. Like, she was just so excited. And like, she called her mom and she called her dad. And she told everybody that I just asked her to play. It was so cute. And so we got together at somebody's apartment who had a piano and read actually Mendelssohn's C minor trio, which I find really interesting that we would choose not the D minor, which is everybody's standard. You know, we chose the C minor. It showed that we already had this sensibility to try to go a little bit off the beaten track and find the absolute stunning beauty of repertoire that wasn't the one that everybody goes to. And like within 5 minutes, we just looked at each other and said, "Let's get married." I mean, it was like it was so clear. You know, and then we had to come up with a name. And that was really funny because we were going back and forth with a bunch of names. I was on tour and Erica was like, she like called and said, I have to pick a name. So she couldn't reach me. She left a voicemail. And so she just picked Eroica. We were never thinking at all of two things, which was at the time, there were no chamber music groups that had any women, let alone three women. And number two, that people would add a T to the word Eroica, and it would start to mean something other than heroic. And so because we just weren't, we weren't thinking of ourselves as women because we were girls. We were like kids, you know? And so, but I love the name Eroica because it means heroic in Italian. And that's the way we play. We leave nothing on the table when we play. We just pour ourselves in. We put every emotion, every life experience. When we walk out on stage, we feel that we are the host of what we are hoping is going to be the best party in town. And we have to make sure that every one of our guests, the audience members, leaves feeling changed, feeling like every part of their soul has been touched and that they feel not alone, that they feel heard, that they are, you know, there's something that will linger with them for time after this concert, which will brighten their lives and their days. And so, yeah, I think heroic is you know, trying to be a tune musician is also a heroic endeavor, let's face it.
So, you know, this is actually perfect. I didn't know any of that, and it makes complete sense. And I have to say that the way you program, we have somehow in classical music become, and I speak for what I see in the world, it's become so lecherous and educational. And that's not the way concerts used to be. They used to be entertainment. And they used to be entertainment at a party. And I've always admired your programming because it has some element of a master work, like a Schubert, like you have it. Right. Obviously, you're playing on Tuesday night, as well as on Monday night, you've got the big Brahms B major trio. But outside that one big course, you're showing us the world. I mean, I've been around the block a few times, and I did not know that Gaspar Cassado, the friend of
incredible cellist
Pablo Casals, wrote a piano trio. I did that, and also people don't know that you're obviously paying tribute Astor Piazzolla to his 100th birthday year this year with all of these tangos and things that you're going to be playing. So, with tangos and Spanish music, and the great masterpieces
French.
As well as a transcription French as well as a transcription of the great Chacon. Obviously, being a Bach festival, we call Bach the Alpha and the Omega. You bring something to everybody. And I love the fact that people are going to want to get up. They're not going to be allowed to get up unless they put their mask on. But they're going to want to get up and run around the room because every concert I've been to yours in your trio has been one of the most exciting events I've been to.
Thank you so much.
It's not what people do, it's how they make people feel. And when the Eroica Trio plays, you can't unfeel it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most important thing as far as I'm concerned is that, you know, it's about, you know, that interaction with the audience where you all are feeling this emotion together. And, you know, in 2021, not only are we historically having fewer and fewer opportunities where you have a large group of people in a room feeling the same thing at the same moment, but now in 2021, because of COVID, even more so, we're not having. So it's unbelievably cathartic. And I'm sure, Zul, you've noticed since you started performing again how it reminds me, my concerts, since I started again concertizing in about March, my concerts remind me a lot of the first few months of playing concerts in the States after 9/11. They're so cathartic. Yeah. We've come through this huge tragedy and this huge dark period, and to be able to have the gift of being able to bring people together and all feel these extraordinary human emotions that are eternal, and to feel them together is so cathartic. I mean, I've been tearing up on stage every night. Yeah. And I have audience members coming up to me just sobbing, saying, "Thank you so much. Oh, finally to feel that emotion that I haven't, I've been cut off from, you know?"
We are extraordinarily lucky here in Spokane because our venue is the Barrister Winery. So people literally come into this warm hug of an environment that's very intimate, very much like concerts would have been presented a century or two ago. It is limited numbers. And obviously before COVID, it was always limited also because this is intimate music. This is music that is by acoustic instruments, historic instruments, not amplified instruments.
Right.
To be able to sip on wine and have a little bit of food and to have this kind of entertainment, it's the perfect time. It's the perfect time. And you're in a perfect ensemble to be here on Monday and Tuesday night at Barrister Winery. And I just can't wait to be in the audience cheering you on.
Good.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We cannot wait. And we're really, really excited about the Adolphus Hailstork Trio that we're playing. Someone just mentioned to me that they, when I was doing another interview, that they were looking, they had never heard of him. And then they noticed that the Spokane Symphony is also performing a piece of Adolphus Hailstork. And it is also, first of all, I think it's fantastic, and we're so excited to bring it to Spokane. But there's all these hints of African American spirituals in there, and then there's jazzy. There's a bluegrass feel at one point, but then there's also like at one point it feels like such a recitativo that it feels like if Bach was living now, he'd be writing this. It's magnificent, and I can't wait for us to play it for you guys.
Well, this goes back to, and this is the big question that everyone always asks me. Why do you have so much variety of music, world music, when you're called a Bach festival? And I always say, because when God created the earth, he created the humanity out of that. And when Bach created what we know of classical music, everything was born out of that. And again, it always comes back to Bach. It always comes back.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do have to tell you,
No, I was just going to say, because what you were saying earlier that I wanted to comment on that Vern brought up, it always astonishes me. The only composer that I can name that 100% of the time works on every single, and every composition that they wrote works on any combination of instruments, and it's not one instrument specific, is Bach. It's always about the music. It's not about the instrument producing the music.
Yes, so, exactly. And it's just his architecture is like the symmetry of his architecture is literally almost unearthly in its perfection. I'll tell you a quick story. So March of 2020, I'm just coming back from tour. And I get home, thank God, and the country slams shut with COVID. 3 days later, my son comes down with COVID. 3 days after that, I come down with it. And I was sitting there. I mean, oh, my gosh, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm laying in bed. And all I could think of was I feel so horrible. And everything, I feel like I've been run over by a Mack truck. But all I want to do is get to my cello and play Bach because I know that it will start to make me feel better. And within like literally 4 days of getting sick, I was like, that's it. And I just dragged myself and took my cello out and started playing the fourth suite. And I found myself, I realized I was smiling while I was playing it because it just, it has, there's such health. It's just so perfect. It just makes you feel happy to be alive and inspires you. Every time I play Bach, it inspires me to be a better human being. It's just, you know, and so I think part of my healing process was just playing Bach every day.
You're telling the story of basically every musician I know. When that same time period happened, I'll be very brief about this. I put my cello down and everything went dark. Everything went like silent.
Yes.
And I just sat there, and the only thing that pulled me out of that darkness was the Bach cello suite, playing Bach and just slowly starting to see the light again. And I was so grateful, so grateful for that thing that only Bach does to pull,
I know,
kind of make positivity and a current and a hope and all of these things.
Yes.
And we're, my
it
God,
gives you hope.
Thank God for Bach.
It really, I know, thank God for Bach. I don't think I would have survived without Bach.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was, he gives you hope. He shows you what we all are capable of. I mean, it's just extraordinary. My favorite story about Bach is, and his like just life force was when he was having a contract dispute with one of the dukes that was supporting him, and because he didn't feel his music was being performed enough, and another duke had offered him a contract, and his current employer duke was really miffed with Bach for keeping nagging him about it. So he thought, I'll throw him in prison. That'll soften him up. So he threw Bach in prison for a month. And during that month, Bach wrote 43 pieces of music that we are still performing today.
You know, I'm going to come in on that one and say that with any good radio interview, you want to leave them with the great story and the pithy story. So, Sarah, I think that's where we'll leave your part of this conversation, because this, this is so thrilling to know that.
To be continued on Monday with Sarah, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
And so
thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk with both of you. And thank you so much for all your support of classical music. And Vern, it's just, we so appreciate you and your listeners for keeping this great music alive.
Great. Well, thank you, Sarah Sanambrogio, the cellist of the Eroica Trio. That concert, a pair of concerts, Monday and Tuesday night at the Barrister Winery. And I do need to interject right here with, through all of this discussion, that proof of vaccination is required. That is essential and a requirement for getting into the concert, as is a mask. And so those are the two requirements so that everybody can feel we hope the comfort level that is necessary on that. So great to have Sarah there. Zuhal, let's spend a little bit of time talking about you putting the period on the somewhat extended and delayed Beethoven Festival. remember that.
Never,
it was going to be a Beethoven Festival.
remember that? Yeah. We have never canceled a concert or not been able to reschedule a concert at the Northwest Bach Festival. We really pride ourselves on that. We charge forward. And when we were getting ready to reveal ourselves again after our Across the Miles series, which is the virtual series, and the Bach Cello Suites in May, the next thing that was obvious is that we need to put a final salute in place to properly thank Ludwig van Beethoven, which is the Bach Beethoven and the successor of things, to say thank you and happy birthday 50 years later. And so I thought, well, this would be yet another epic event for us that may or may not have ever been done here in Spokane. The complete Beethoven sonatas, and they're extraordinary. Because they actually, we as cellists are so lucky to experience through the cello and the evolution of the cello, Beethoven's life from the early sonatas when he wrote in his 20s. Actually, interestingly, prior to his deafness starting to set on. So you heard him at his most virtuosic in his early sonatas, where if you look at the music, it says Beethoven sonatas for piano and cello. And I say in cello very softly because Beethoven was sitting at the piano and he was dictating the show. It was a piano sonata and he was basically using the cello as a texturizer for his left hand and occasionally a little bit of an addition to a melody or a harmony. But he was experimenting with an instrument that had really not been exposed as a leading instrument yet. And yet, obviously, his virtuosity shone through. So the first two sonatas are all about the piano and the virtuosity and the youth and brilliance of Beethoven. The third sonata of the five is his, quote, middle period, where he's starting to very much struggle with massive hearing loss. And but the cello becomes an equal partner. And the equal partner is equal enough that he actually lets the cello open the piece by itself. And I, every time I play the third sonata, I think, okay, Beethoven, I look over at the pianist, which in this case is Elizabeth DeMille from Cleveland, and I think there's Beethoven sitting there allowing me to start the show and create this beautiful, simple melody that will evolve over the sonata. And then the latter four and five, the only five sonatas, are when he was completely deaf and he was trapped inside of his being, but he was at the strongest intellectually, musically, age-wise maturation, and the music is extraordinary. And I'll tell the stories about this tonight, but to think that this is what was in his head and not what he was hearing, but this is what was happening. It's amazing what he could do with so fewer notes, which is usually what happens with age. We say less and it means more. So over the course of this evening, the five sonatas, people are going to actually witness Beethoven's life. And that's kind of how we could sum it up and say happy birthday to him in a way that was highly personal, of course, through the cello, me being a cellist. And so this is very exciting and it's going to be epic.
And so that is the concert tonight at the Barrister Winery of the five Beethoven cello sonatas. Again, Elizabeth DeMille, say a couple more. She's come along and done the unbelievable, the extraordinary, and she does it without breaking a sweat.
Well, going back to the Naumburg competition winners, the Europa Trio that are coming on Monday and Tuesday, it's 1991. I met Elizabeth DeMille in 1991 and played with her in Hudson, Ohio, when one of her children was inside of her. I mean, she was in her 30s, and we were playing together. I was it was at the summer festival, and I say that because I've met this fully functioning adult who's the passage of time bewilders me. That she and I are celebrating our 30th anniversary together, celebrating Beethoven's 250th birthday. And you're right, what she does, we were rehearsing yesterday. We finished several of the sonatas, and I just stopped and I looked at her, and she looked at me and got the biggest smile on her face, which just made me so happy. And she said, "Isn't this great?" And that was after the first two virtuoso piano sonatas with some cello in it. And I said, it certainly is. I'll ride your coattails any day of the week.
That's perfect. That is, and that is the quintessential Elizabeth DeMille story that we can enjoy. So again, that's the concert tonight, the Barrister Winery, presented by Northwest Bachfest with Zuhl and Elizabeth DeMille. How about on the way out, you choose a movement or two? You know, you've illuminated so much with those two Opus 5 sonatas, the Opus 69 sonata, and then the Opus 102 sonatas. So it really is three parts of Beethoven's life. What's a movement or two that we would want to hear to represent some part of that from your previous recording?
Yes, it depends on how much time you have. An extraordinary feeling is it depends on, I can't remember the tracks, but it's the slow movement from the third sonata and the last movement.
Okay, that looks like it's funny. I was kind of thinking that might be the sequence. So we did a little good telepathy.
That's when Beethoven was striding. That's when he was striding the fact that he was fighting with the going deaf, but trying to keep the virtuosity, as well as kind of going into this other state. And I think that kind of sums it up right there. Third and fourth movement of the A major sonata.
And this is from the previous recording of these pieces that Zuhl had done with another significant pianist of our civilization, Simona Dinnerstein. So I think we'll go out with that, Zuhl, and we'll enjoy all the rest tonight at the concert. Thank you.
Thank you, Vern. See you tonight.